It is time now for our Tuned In program, and joining us on the line is Dr. Cliff Martin from OSF St. Luke Medical Center. And Dr. Martin, good morning.
Good morning.
We appreciate your time. We're, of course, talking about the latest medical news related to COVID-19. And the biggest news right now are all these spikes going on in the southern states, specifically Texas, Arizona. California is now spiking as well. What are we looking at here?
Well, I think we are learning the hard lessons that other parts of the country have already learned. And that is you have to take some pretty drastic, painful steps to contain the virus and how readily it will start to spread if you don't. So as you're seeing, the states now having to backtrack and close down institutions and in terms of restaurants and bars and social events to try to control it, all the things that we went through in the state in Illinois before, and know what it takes to kind of get it under control. Certainly it is teaching us the lesson, though, to continue to be very diligent as we do the reopening and the different phases. Now we've gone to the phase four in the state. Just continue to monitor and be willing to take faster steps to control spread. Identifying, I know there's been a lot of funds put into place, a lot of recruitment in all of our counties with getting the contact tracing. And I think that's, again, a key. If we can identify when somebody's positive, to try to contain it, to try to take a smaller containment with immediate families and friends, that goes a long ways. But it takes a lot of manpower and coordinated effort to do that.
Could we attribute some of this spread to the kind of mistaken notion that people are recovering at a rate of over 90%, so it's not that big a deal?
I think that absolutely, and I think also there was the misbelief, and we've had a chance to chat a couple of times about it in the past. First, we were wondering if it was going to be true, and then we started to realize it wasn't, and that was the warm weather concept. The idea that because when we first started to see the virus hit the United States, clearly there seemed to be a divide in terms of the northern states and the southern states, and the belief, all sorts of theories out there about how the virus may not spread as fast and cause as much problems. It proved us wrong, and that's another part that went into it as well.
The nature of the disease becomes more and more clear seemingly every day into how it's spread, and much of it has to do with particulates. That is the big thing to watch out for, particulates that come out of the mouth while speaking or just breathing.
Absolutely. And a lot, you know, there's certain activities that we realize increase that, and that's going to be like sporting events where everybody's yelling and shouting for their team. It's going to be church where we're close together and singing. So there's events where that aerosolization of the virus particles, as you're pointing out, do increase as well.
And that's why the mask recommendation has become almost mandatory in many states. I know California has made it mandatory for public spaces for people to wear a mask, and it's because of this particulate data.
It, exactly right. I think where we may not as much perfectly protect ourselves with a mask, we are greatly reducing how much the virus could spread, which means indirectly we're protecting ourselves, because if the virus, the amount of people in the public with the virus drops down tremendously, then our risk just drops well with that.
We're talking with Dr. Cliff Martin from OSF St. Luke Medical Center today, the latest medical headlines related to COVID-19. And one of the things that has stood out for many is there is a seeming racial divide when it comes to COVID-19. But we're not talking about a medical difference, are we? There's nothing medically that makes people more susceptible.
We don't believe so yet. We may discover that there are some small differences about genetics, which would be related to race. And I'll give you an example what we still don't really completely understand, and that seems to be that people with type A blood seem to be a little more at risk of getting a more severe illness with COVID-19 than people with type O. We don't really understand why. It's enough volume that's there. But clearly, with the racial aspects, it has to do with all the other social determinants of our health. I mean, we really are learning hard lessons that we've known before, and that is, you know, what our grandmothers used to tell us: eat a balanced diet, take care of yourself, and you're going to be healthier. Well, a lot of the people in this country, because of their level of poverty, because of the constraints that often related unfairly to race at times, mm-hmm. They are congregated closer. They often have less healthy diets, and they're put into places where then the virus spreads much more quickly. And their general wellness, underlying health wellness, then makes it harder for them to fight off the virus as well.
Also, you know, among many many folks with lower income, many people are living together in more tighter spaces in order to save money, and living together in a tighter space obviously would make someone more susceptible to the infection.
Absolutely. They are, you know, they are working, as you pointed out, they're living in tighter spaces. They often work in tighter spaces. Their jobs often are more related to our factories. They are people who have taken on a lot of the roles that have been truly the frontline providers for us in this time of the fight, where they are working in jobs that were essential and had to keep going there to keep the country running.
Returning to questions a little bit more broader from around the country, we know that places in Texas are now once again approaching capacity in their ICU. Can you kind of give us a sense of what that's like when a hospital has its resources strained to that degree?
Well, the intensive care is really, truly just that. The technology and the manpower that goes into caring for a person whose health is at that time so compromised that they need what we call ICU level care. It takes lots of equipment and IV medications and round the clock one-to-one care, so that even from a space standpoint, the rooms that are needed and the support systems are often not a whole lot of redundancy, because it's just too costly just to have room after room open waiting of intensive care. So when they get filled quickly, then you start to have to look at other hospitals in the area. Do they have some? Well, if it's something like the COVID illness where it's hitting everybody in that area, all the hospitals are suffering the same thing. You start to then look, where can we take care of these individuals in other rooms with that type of intensity? But a lot of times it's even finding the right skilled nurses to be able to come in and do so, because again, we often really have almost a nurse shortage in this country in the first place because of the way the healthcare is. So it's not just like droves of individuals with the right skill sets waiting to come help us. So ultimately then it gets to be that fear that we were planning for before, but what if we can't care for all of the folks, and how do we make the decision about who we should care for and who do we just support, and how do we try to get them the care from other resources like other states, from the military? Just lots of thinking goes into place, because nobody wants to just not care for individuals.
And this is where the idea of this herd immunity doesn't quite play out when it comes to COVID-19, because when you have so many people get infected at the same time, you've got so many more people to care for. That means that many more people may die simply because they don't have access to the care that they need.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And we know it continues. I mean, we I don't mean to go off of the COVID, but we've also had this conversation before and want to reemphasize that. And that's the fear that it creates at the same time. So we know that not only are we losing lives because of COVID-19 and the challenges of trying to care for those individuals, but simultaneously when the public knows that the hospitals are overwhelmed with that disease, they tend to stay away even when chest pain, stroke symptoms arise, and they really desperately need to get in for emergency care. And so, unfortunately, we also see a lot of suffering and lives lost because of that fear as well.
All right. Well, Dr. Cliff Martin, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.